The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
The Jericho Network on Westwood One.
All right, Luke Harper makes his Talk Is Jericho debut. He's from the Wyatt family, and he's one of the best performers in the WWE these days. I know I worked with him many, many times over the last six, seven, 8 months or so. Now, we sat down. We were both in Saudi Arabia, in Jeddah, with the WWE last month, and you'll hear what that experience was like for both of us. And, of course, we're going to talk to Luke about his time at NXT, meeting Bray Wyatt for the first time, and how that led him to the WWE big leagues. We'll talk about his gimmick, his name, his training, what it was like wrestling in Europe, why he almost gave up on pro wrestling, and you'll hear what happened that caused him to give it one last shot and led him to the big time. And speaking of the big time, speaking of one last shot, you still got time to enter to win a copy of DDP Yoga signed by Diamond Dallas Page, the man himself. Tweet your own DDP Yoga story to Talk Is Jericho at Talk Is Jericho on the Twitter using the hashtag #podcast1, and you could win an autographed copy of Dallas's workout. You guys know how much I believe in DDP Yoga. I am a user. It's the only reason why I'm still rocking with Fozzy right now in Europe and why I'm able to keep coming back to the WWE and have five-star matches. All right, DDP Yoga saved my music career, my wrestling career. My quality of life is better because of Diamond Dallas Page and his amazing yoga program. But I'm not the only one who had his life changed thanks to DDP Yoga. Stacey Morris, take her for example. She also experienced the life-changing benefits of DDP Yoga. Stacey weighed over 300 pounds for more than 20 years of her life. Even though she lost over 100 pounds two different times, she could not keep the weight off. She had pretty much given up, but then one afternoon while watching Oprah, she heard singer Carney Wilson talking about a man named Diamond Dallas Page. He's the man called Page. He acts like a sage. All right, he had helped Carney change her life just like he did for me. That inspired Stacey to give it one more try. She started DDP Yoga in 2009. Weighing, get this, 345 pounds, all right? And in just 18 months, she'd lost 185 pounds. She went from a size 28 to a size 8. That is amazing. 6 years later, she still kept the weight off and continues to live the healthy lifestyle that DDP Yoga encouraged her to do, all right? So I'm here today, right here, right now, telling you guys that DDP Yoga was the answer for me, just like it was the answer for Stacey Morris, Jake the Snake Roberts, Scott Hall, Kane, Goldust, Ryback, tens of thousands of other people as well, including Y2J himself. It can work for you too. In fact, I want to hear your DDP Yoga stories, all right? Tweet them to me at Talk Is Jericho. Use the hashtag #podcast1, and you could win a copy of the DDP Yoga program autographed by Diamond Dallas Page himself. That's right. Just tweet me your DDP Yoga story at Talk Is Jericho. Use the hashtag #podcast1 for your chance to win an autographed DDP Yoga program. A winner will be chosen at random very soon. You still have time to experience your own DDP Yoga story. You still have time to have a better quality of life. You still have time to live life the way you want to live it, because DDP is giving you guys, the Sexy Beast, Talk Is Jericho listeners, a great deal on DDP Yoga. Just go to ddpyoga.com/Jericho to take advantage of this. That's ddpyoga.com/Jericho. DDP Yoga changes lives. I am here, living, breathing proof to tell you that is true. Go get in the best shape of your life and do it now. ddpyoga.com.
Talk Is Jericho, baby. Talk Is right, so across the table with Luke Harper, who has just an amazing beard, man.
That is mine.
Did you grow that as a part of the Wyatt family, or did you have it already?
I had it already, and I liken it to being fat. It's it's not difficult to do. You just kind of give up on life. And this is what happens. And it just happens to help me in my career now.
On any sort of credibility on the street.
And my wife doesn't mind it, so it's a win-win.
Well, that's the secret. Yeah. Like, you know, if your wife didn't like it, there'd be an issue,
right? But she doesn't mind it, so, and I think she's okay with the career, so things are okay.
Especially when it's like, yeah, involving making money for your family, right?
Right, exactly.
Because if she like said, I hate this beard.
Right. I was like, well, tough break, honey.
But here we are actually in Saudi Arabia.
Jeddah, Saudi Arabia.
Which, I mean, you know, when we go to England or Australia or like even Japan, that's like pretty similar. Mm-hmm. But when you come here, like it's a whole different world.
This is a it's pretty insane to me over here. I had a little experience on the way back from the gym where the security guard kind of waved off a car that was driving in front of us and kept telling the driver to slow down. And I'm just in the back seat, like, what the hell is happening? And they're speaking Arabic to each other. And I'm like, okay, waves them off. The guy comes back and kind of signals to him. And I don't know what's happening now. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, we're in Saudi Arabia. Anything could happen. We're security
like
guards.
A shuttle or something. Yeah.
And so eventually they're kind of signaling each other, kind of telling each other to F off. And I'm like, come on. So the guy slows down, pulls off, and then gets in behind us and then pulls into the hotel we're going to. And I'm like, oh, here we go. And then so I say, hey, is everything okay? The guy says, I think so. And I go, okay. So he gets out of the car first. They kind of have some pleasantries to each other. And then he just says, okay, everything's okay. And we get out of the car.
So, but the thing is, and you don't really know what
no
just
idea.
Happened,
I
right?
had no idea what was going on. It was just a driver in a car, and they were signaling to each other, and I was alone in the car with nobody just coming back from the gym, and
it's interesting.
It was very interesting.
Because, like I said, like, you know, even just downstairs, I went and had some food mm-hmm. and catering, and there's a bunch of kids in the lobby, mm-hmm. and a kid tries to come up to me and get my order, and the security guard grabs this kid and pulls him back like a hockey.
Oh yeah,
like grab him by the jersey.
Yep,
and pulls
no
him back.
Qualms about
and I'm like,
physical.
Hey man, it's okay. They're kids, and he wasn't listening to me.
No, they don't care.
They don't care.
Nope.
And I'm like, it's okay, it's okay. Mm-hmm. And I signed for the kid and a couple other kids. He's pushing these kids back. Yeah, they're like 8 years old or something.
Yep.
And
we went to a World Cup qualifying soccer game last night after the show, and we were kind of in a public area. It was me, Miz, and.
Cesaro, maybe?
Cesaro and Sheamus had gone up to the Royal Suite because they had an appearance, which got canceled, but they still were going up there to say hi to him. And so these kids are kind of just like trying to take pictures of us, and we're just in a corner. And literally, the security guards have no qualms about just telling them no and like pushing their phones down. And I was like, oh, okay.
It's funny, too, because, you know, we were talking about this earlier. You go to the show, and afterwards, like when I go to the ring, you know, you just see the crowd. Right. It's fine. When I'm walking out, I'm slapping hands, and there's no women.
No. And literally, on the way to your room, I just saw the first woman's face since I've been here. And she was attractive, and it was odd, and I said hello, and I was like, okay. And I didn't understand where she came from because I literally had not seen one woman or one woman's face since I've been here.
Yeah, and when we're saying there's no women, we're not like being like music. We're talking there's no little girls.
Nope.
There's no teenage girls. Nope. There's no tracking girls. There's no old ladies. There's nothing.
Soccer game had 32,000 people, all male.
Wow.
Yep. Not one woman in attendance.
I got a tweet from somebody's a girl from the lives that wanted to go, and she said it says in the ticket males only.
Yep.
That's incredible.
Yeah, and I said I made a joke. I said I wonder if the women love when these big sporting events happen because all the guys go out and they're home.
But that's the thing too. So they did 32,000 at the stadium.
And apparently 28,000 walk up.
Okay. And tonight we had like 6,400. Yep. But those are all guys. Imagine. All so guys. We're selling to half the population here. Yep. Imagine if we sold to everybody, we'd be like we would have 10,000 people tonight, right?
Yeah, I agree.
You know, and you're talking about these two girls in the lobby of the hotel. Mm-hmm. And I know what you guys might be thinking, but these, they work for the hotel.
Right, and I had heard about these, and I didn't see them.
Very pretty faces.
I thought they were fictitious, the way people were describing them. And I was like, no, you guys are bullshitting, because I hadn't seen them.
Yeah.
And then I saw the one up on the, and I was like, what the?
Yeah, and they're pretty girls, and they're like the ones smoking and everything. Mm-hmm. And what I was asking them, and what I found out for some of the other dudes, apparently it's like Hasidic Jews. Like some people are really Jewish
super
to wear.
Strict.
their home before sundown and all the stuff. Whereas these girls are from here, ladies, not girls or ladies, and maybe they're not as strict into the culture. Right. Whereas the other ones are more like where you can see their eyes are super.
And
into
I think the same thing goes for males because at the game, a row of teenagers, males, sat in front of us and just real goofy kids, and they're all wearing Western style clothes, all spoke great English. So I guess, you know, when you see other people, they're not wearing Western. They're wearing the long dresses,
for lack of a better term.
So it was – I didn't understand the way it works.
The difference.
Yeah. And also today, like, I went to the gym, not a soul there. And I said, hey, is something going on today? They said, oh, it's the holiday. It's Friday. You know, we pray on Fridays. Mm. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. And they didn't seem too bothered by it, but literally not one soul in the gym, silent. And I guess everybody was just out praying from until noon, and then it opens up.
Then they can do normal stuff.
Right.
Well, and the other couple of things were, I think, at about 6 in the morning.
Yeah, you hear the loudspeaker calls.
They play, I guess, his prayers through the loudspeakers.
Which are a little bit unnerving.
Very creepy. Yeah. I mean, and nothing against the religion, but coming from the West, where we come from, it's very creepy because you hear, like, those chants just loud, loud.
Have you seen the arrow in your room?
What is that?
Points to Mecca.
Wow.
Yep. So they apparently when they pray, they bow towards Mecca. So when you're in a room, they know.
You're kidding me. It's interesting that you say that because there's one in the bedroom too. Yep. And I was looking up at the ceiling and what we're looking at. There's like a little like a triangle, like a Star Trek triangle. Yeah. And there's one at first I was like, I looked at the corner of my eye and I thought it was like, is that a big bug? Oh no.
Yeah, I did. Same thing.
It's some kind of decoration.
Yeah. But it's in the desert. Is it a bug?
Yeah. It's an arrow pointing.
Yeah. Apparently towards Mecca. I was kind of like wondering the same thing and I heard someone discussing it. I said, are you guys talking about the arrows in your room or the thing on the ceiling?
Yeah.
And they said, yeah, that's point towards Mecca. So when they pray, they know which way to bow.
That's incredible. I didn't know that.
And again, like, so yesterday, Ambrose and me had to, so we went on at 5:46 p.m.
Right.
This
is your match.
Explicitly told you have to be done and out of there at 6:01. So, I mean, as we're going through the match, we're getting these time cues of, okay, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 4 minutes. Okay, 3 minutes, guys. We really have to be done because at 6:02, everybody either leaves the arena or just turns into the hallway and prays for 25 minutes.
Yeah, the show had to basically take intermission, a prayer intermission.
Yep. Yeah. So we had like a wacky like 3 match first half.
Yeah, we started at like 5:30.
And I said it was way more stressful than TV timing. Because they're like the hands of a nation.
Yeah, in this one you're not going to get yelled at for going over. You're going to get like your hand chopped off.
I said,
off
well, what happens if I just stay out there in a headlock and the agent told me to run? I said, okay, no problem.
Even better was I was the first match on after. Right. I was the first ever prayer popcorn match.
Yep.
But I mean, this is it's so interesting to be over here. But you, it's funny because just a little background. When I came back to the WWE last summer and I started the thing with Bray, they were talking about Harper and Rowan. And, you know, you see the matches, but you're not sure, you know, which guy's
which.
Yeah.
Oh, people still don't know who's
but I remember Arn Anderson going, that Luke Harper, he's a stud. He's a stud. And I was like, which one's Harper? It's the one with the beard. Well,
the brunette.
But yeah, the guy with the black beard. And you're kind of like this 10-year overnight sensation.
Yeah.
Because you have traveled around the world before you even came to the WWE.
Oh, yeah. 2001 started, and around 2007-ish kind of started discovering outside of the U.S. kind of stuff, and went to Germany, went to Japan, went to England several times each.
That's
and kind of and loved it. And the funny part is I came home from Japan the last time, 2010. Wife was pregnant. And I said, you know what? I think I'd been kind of blown off by WWE several times, done, I think, 19 times extra work. I was always too tall to do a job or, you know, too big to do anything. So came home to Japan and told my wife, I said, I don't think this is it. You know, I think I need to.
Don't think this job is for you.
I don't think it's working. I was 31 at the time. I said,
Which in this gig, if you haven't been in the WWE, it's pretty old, right?
Especially with WWE, the stigma is, you know, if I wasn't there by 25 or even 20, you know, 28, it's like, oh, okay, they're kind of looking past me now. So thinking that they didn't have what, or I didn't have what they needed, and let's move on. And then, of course, got the call saying, hey, you want to come down and try out in January? So in December, I wanted to say, I'm done. And then
so it was like a couple first days
of December,
later.
Yeah, 1st of December, Joey called me, Joey Mercury,
mm-hmm.
called me and said, hey, we want to bring you down January for the tryout. I said, oh, okay, yeah, no, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. And then went down for tryout, actually worked Ambrose.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 days after I had my child in January, got called by Johnny Ace.
To say that so, you're going to get hired.
And of course, the other best part about that is I missed his call because I was in the hospital.
With your baby.
So he left a message. His number cuts out. I think I've told you this before. The number cuts out, and I think, well, that was my chance. You don't really f*** that up. So instantly called Claudio Castagnoli and said, please tell me you have Johnny Ace's number. And he said, yeah, here it is right here. And so I'm freaking out thinking, I blew it. You know, had my, you know, 14 years and it's
so,
gone.
So he's like, you know, call me back at 203, yeah. 321.
Yep.
Right.
Literally, last four gone. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm looking his number up. Can't find it.
You're trying to guess the combinations.
Yep, yep, yep. Yeah. I actually looked at my phone. I was like, it could be
yeah, there's 2342.
3,000 combinations. Yeah, I'll try them all. And thinking it was over. And then I called Johnny Jones. I said, hey, I'm really sorry. I'm in the hospital having a baby, you know. And he goes, oh, yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
We want to bring you to Pittsburgh and do your physical. Oh, okay. Thanks.
But we talked about this. When you're at that point,
right,
and you miss the call, you think, like, this is the end of it. You know, I mentioned that.
Yeah, you shared the Benoit story.
Yeah, one time when I was trying to get an ECW for a year, and finally Benoit calls me on a Saturday afternoon and says, can you be in Philadelphia tonight?
From Calgary.
Yep. Paulie wants to book you against Ultimo Dragon. And I'm like, tonight? Yeah. And this wasn't like the old days or now where you can go on Hotwire
right,
or something.
There.
I'm looking through the phone book and trying to find out. And, of course, the earliest flight got me at like 11:35 at night.
Yep.
And I was just like, I was done.
It's over.
My chance is over. I'll never get another shot.
You said, though, that it took you another – they didn't call you for another year.
Yeah.
So it was a little more stressful.
Yeah, it was a little bit of time.
Mine was like 3 hours where I was just like, oh, it's over. No, my wife's like in the bed with a baby and I'm like, ah, it's over.
So what was the final – okay, so you mentioned that there's a lot of stuff here that you mentioned that I want to talk about. It's okay. But so – first of all, what was it finally that you think that was the catalyst to finally get you the call of the tryout?
I was told they're looking again for guys over six whatever that could work.
Mm-hmm.
And so Claudio Castagnoli was down there, Tyler Black, who's now Seth Rollins, and John Moxley, who's Dean Ambrose, kind of all were close to Joey and said, hey, there's a kid out there that I use the term kid loosely.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy out there that can work and is tall and, you know, whatever, and no one's ever called him. And I had been in contact with Joey before in
Was Joey training in NXT or was he
– He was a trainer there. At the
gotcha.
Time. And I had been in contact with him, I think, April, but just kind of – nothing happened. Stopped talking to me. And so a couple weeks after that, I broke my leg, lost my job, and
wow.
I was told that my wife was pregnant. So all in the space of like 3 or 4 days, I actually I busted up my leg in New York City and had to drive home to Rochester, which is like 6 hours.
Yeah,
I had to go to work on Monday.
How did you break your leg?
Throwing a boot in a corner, and it just folded under itself on a Dragon Gate USA show. And
when you put your boot up and a guy hit it?
No. I threw a boot, and then my plant leg just folded in half.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did the guy hit it or anything?
No,
or
nobody touched
just
me.
A freak accident.
It just snapped, and. So, yeah, so all that stuff happened. I said, well, okay, it's over. And then I came back a few months later and worked Kevin Nash randomly on an indie show. And I thought, oh, you know, things are great. You know, what could be better? I just worked Kevin Nash. You know, this is great. And he's like, yeah, and I really respect, you know, knee injuries. I get it. You know, I get it. I was like, okay. And then after that, I kind of kept going to Japan a few times and then thought that was it.
What job were you doing that you lost? When you
I was a librarian in a city school. Yep.
What?
That's correct.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
A librarian in the city school. Was that something you went to school for?
No, not at all. I kind of got hooked up through a family member who kind of had a connection, and I applied and took a civil service test and all this stuff and kind of got in. I was actually the keeper of like the textbooks and stuff, but I helped in the library, so I always said, I'm a librarian. So I worked in the library.
I'm envisioning you with like a turtleneck.
Oh,
and
not
it's,
a...
jacket
I look
with patches on
I
it.
Look exactly like I did here. And the one time, actually, I got busted open in a cage match with Claudio in Philly, and I had to go to work on Monday, and I couldn't stop the bleeding, and I had to wear – the only time ever I wore a hat to work.
Oh.
Because, And I was like terrified. Like I'm serving these books to these like fourth and fifth graders, and I'm just terrified. Like keep checking my head, and I'm like, what is my life like?
You're like worried that you're just gonna spout a gusher. Yeah. Like here's Peter Cottontail.
Right. Oh no, there's blood on the book. So luckily nothing happened. I was able to get through it, and but yeah.
So what other happened? Like on those 19? So you had 19 extra work.
Yeah,
tryouts?
I think I don't know the exact number. It was a lot of them. Yeah, because what they would usually do is they'd come to Rochester, Buffalo, or Pittsburgh, Buffalo, Rochester. Mm-hmm. It's SmackDown would be in Rochester,
right?
So they would do that, and then I kind of went down into Philly a couple times to do a couple different ones, and. I mean, we would literally, it's not like it is today. We would just work out in the ring for, I felt like, hours at a time.
Like someone like Scott Armstrong would be
watching
you.
Yeah, Jamie Noble would. Okay, Jamie. So he would come out and like kind of work with us and then sometimes throw matches together on the fly. And I think the only guys I ever saw get hired out of it was Michael Tarver. And, okay. One time I called my buddy Colin Delaney and he got a job.
Yeah, he playing like the little underdog.
Yep. And he literally, he was at work. I called him. I said, hey, bring your shooter boots down. He came and he like had his boots around his neck. And Jamie Noble like walks out and he goes, oh, he is perfect.
Were they looking for somebody?
They were looking for somebody smaller to do, I think it was to work with Shelton.
Mm.
He was just getting that push on ECW. And Jamie got one look at him and said, yep, that's the guy. And he sold great, came back. Vince, I guess, gave him a hug and said, all right, we're going to see you next week.
So how is that for you? Like, you know, you're 6'6" or whatever, and you're looking at this guy, 5 foot F all, you know, looks like a scrawny little librarian.
Yeah.
I mean, was it frustrating for you?
Yeah, it was tough. Mm-hmm. And I kind of tried to be a part of it, you know, as much as I could and asking him all these questions and kind of try to be into it. But I was like, man, you know, it's his life and
right.
He got a break. So. Yeah. If he got one, why can't I?
A lot of times, like I remember with Ricardo Rodriguez?
Yes.
Right, yeah. They were just looking for a ring announcer.
Right.
And he happened to be there. And it's like, what about you? And he was there to try out as a wrestler. And suddenly gets this plum gig.
Right, exactly.
As, you know, Del Rio's announcer.
He got flown around the country. And I remember he went to London for a SmackDown taping and came back. And they gave him a contract. And,
Is this Colin or Robert? Yeah.
And I thought they had something cool with him. But then.
It just, you know, you go as far as you can go. Right. Were you ever, you mentioned that you went there to do trials, did you ever get any extra, like you had to be a druid or something?
I think I was supposed to be a photographer for Eminem, and as soon as they saw me, they were just like, no, you're way too tall. Yeah. And I said, okay, and then I think I sat in a hallway for a Triple H walk one time, and I just remember I was wearing the cheesiest, shittiest sweater you could, because I was like, oh, you know, this is my biz cash and looking good. Like, so they're like, all right, put your stuff back on. And I had this.
It's like a Bill Cosby.
Yeah,
sweater
yeah. Oh, something. It's horrible. And I'm just sitting there, and I just remember all my friends being like, yeah, what a sweater.
What year was that at?
That was probably 2008 or 2009.
All right, here's a challenge for everybody. I got some crazy fans. See if you can find it.
Oh,
if you can, post it on the Twitter.
I'm sure they can.
At Talk is Jericho. You think it was on a Raw?
Either a Raw or.
You were really giving you.
I feel like it was Raw because I think it was Buffalo.
All right. We'll see. Yeah, you can think Buffalo or Pittsburgh if you can find Harper.
It was a Buffalo Raw. It was a Triple H walk. I think either it might have been a Triple H Shawn Michaels DX walk.
Ooh.
But I know Triple H was involved.
Okay. So this is a real scavenger hunt. If you can find this one, we'll give you a prize.
And if
sure.
you don't find it, I'll give you a prize.
Yeah. So you're talking about all these tryouts. But meanwhile, you mentioned how you're working pretty much around the world.
Yep.
And you mentioned Japan. And where what company in Japan did you work for?
Dragon Gate.
Okay, Dragon. Now that's a pretty. Is that the one that's run by who runs that?
Shima. The, yep, it's kind of Toriyama is
Magnum Tokyo. Yep, those type of guys.
They,
right.
They kind of spawned off it from a blend of Mexico and Japanese and American style.
I think Ultimo Dragon started that.
Yeah, and so it all kind of came together, and it was a much different style than I was used to. It was a lot of like flying and like Neville and Ricochet came from there, and I mean they're suited for it.
Right.
So it was kind of wacky for me, and it's kind of where I learned to do more stuff than I was doing and kind of adapt to their style and actually help me remember a lot of stuff because it was so fast-paced and crazy.
So they bring you in to kind of be the monster heel?
Yeah, and build me up, and I think I eventually put Shingo over in the end. But yeah, so I was kind of the monster. They had a bunch of factions and stuff, and they would do that kind of stuff.
What was your name at the time?
Brody Lee.
Was that your name always?
Yep.
Obviously, the Bruiser Brody connection
is actually from Mallrats. Brody. Jason Lee's name is Brody.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Were you a big fan of Mallrats?
I love Mallrats.
You're kidding me.
I love all Jason or Kevin Smith movies.
That's hilarious. Yeah. You just was there any other connection other than you just like the guy?
Or? Randomly, I used to do Ring Crew for Ring of Honor a ton. Never actually got a sniff there either.
Really? Just doing Ring Crew?
Yep, just did Ring Crew a bunch.
Why don't they give you a shot? You're like a giant.
I don't know. Right? Yeah. I also didn't really understand the game then. I didn't understand trying to get a spot. I thought just, hey, I'm out here paying my dues. The road's fun with my buddies. So a guy named Ash, or I don't know what the hell, I think that's what he goes by, just said one just day Ash. At a diner, said, hey, you know, you look like the guy from Mallrats. You should be Brody Lee. I was like, oh, that's great.
I could see with no beard how you kind of have a little bit of a resemblance.
If you see my passport photo, it's...
That's hilarious, man. I'll have to tell Kevin Smith that. He's been on this show a couple times. Very cool. Yeah, Brody Lee. That's hilarious. What's your favorite Kevin Smith movie?
I would say Mallrats or Clerks. I mean, the classics, two. Yeah, right?
Did you see the one he did last year, Walrus?
I have not.
Oh, dude, it's messed up, man.
Since I've been on the road, I've seen very few movies, and I'm actually ashamed.
I hold my head down. Yeah. If you go check out that, it's you know, okay, like he's got the comedies, but he does some really weird stuff. Yeah, Walrus is messed up, man.
Okay.
Even by his own admission. It's not what you think it's going to be.
Have you ever
it's
seen the movie Gummo? Or it's like a kid's...
Yeah.
That's the most messed up movie I've ever seen.
Somebody told me to watch that because I was playing a character in this movie called Albino Farm, like this kind of inbred guy, and then someone told me to watch Gummo.
Gummo is out there and disturbing.
You like those type of weird movies?
Yeah, there's another one that I can't think of the name of it where a clown... rapes something.
Oh, it's with the dude from
Vulgar. Vulgar.
Yeah, Vulgar. It's from what's his name? Randall's buddy. Yes. Dante.
Yes, so that's another one. Yeah.
You know they're doing a Clerks 3 now? They just filmed Clerks 3.
And I don't know how I feel about it. I mean, Clerks 2 held up, but you can't.
Clerks 2 got a little bit weird, though, with like the Dante
You can't keep that up, though.
So you started with the Brody Lee, and then you mentioned you're doing Ring Crew, and you're working in Japan. How'd you like being in Japan?
Japan was awesome. Mm-hmm. It was the best. I mean, I had trouble kind of being away from my wife, kind of. So, and we weren't married then, but like just being away, and especially when she was pregnant, it became very difficult. But the culture over there is, I mean, the best. Mm-hmm. And when we went back for WD last year, it was like coming home home. Yeah, it was awesome.
And the fans always remember too.
Yeah, and it was just so cool. They're just so respectful and like. And I was actually, able to tell a couple of the guys, like, hey, I think this is what we should do. And, telling Rowan, hey, man, we're going to run some of these shoulder tackle crazy spot. And trust me, just trust me.
Because Rowan's basically just starting, right?
Yeah, he's been around a little bit. He actually went to the Noah Dojo for a little while, but didn't really work too much over there. So he was kind of starting at the school. He worked the Minnesota Indies, but came to NXT or FCW at the time and just had been injured and then started coming on. Mm-hmm. So I was like, just trust me. We'll just do these strongman things and they'll love it. And it was just so much fun. It's the best over there.
Did you, because like you said, you mentioned working in Dragon Gate, which is more of the high flying thing. And then you have you do a great tope. You do a lot of high flying stuff, which I think sometimes, I think we even discussed this last year. You got to pull it back, especially as a heel, because it's so impressive.
Yeah.
Who did you train with originally?
A guy named Rick Matrix and a guy named Dunn and Marcos, or tag team in Ring of Honor. So really nobody.
The Rochester guys?
Yeah. And actually the training was better than most guys I've heard of, considering where I came from, and they were all great to me, and literally from the basics up, it wasn't bad training. And then kind of just went on the road and figured it out.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
How did you like working in England?
I didn't like England.
Why was that?
I just didn't like the country.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, England. I think I was just in a different spot in life and just wasn't ready to be gone again. Mm-hmm. And just wasn't happy there. The fan, and I work for Brian Dixon. It was a very
Dixon impression.
I don't want to do
Robbie Brookside does the best one.
Everyone has their own version of it.
He's like kind of like an English Stu Hart. Everyone can do him.
And he's probably the richest man in England, thanks to the WWE merchandise he sells.
And all of his guys are the poorest.
Yeah, was he still? Exactly.
Was he still using kind of like? Like WWE knockoff guys, like characters?
When I was there, there wasn't many, but like the SmackDown Warrior had just come through for a little run.
Who was the SmackDown Warrior?
I think it was Mason Ryan.
But what does he look like?
I think he just was the big, jacked up, Batista-looking guy.
Just use that term, right?
Yeah, and so it wasn't too bad. I mean, there was guys, but there were not too many knockoffs. But they were selling.
There was a few, right?
I mean, you could look at their merch stand. They're selling Rey Mysterio masks and figures and all
really?
Kinds. Oh, yeah.
They're just getting all this stuff from stores? Like
I don't
toy
know.
Stores
I don't know how he does it. I don't know if I'm stooging them off. But
well, I'm sure a lot of people probably know. So I never worked in England like that. So tell me, how is it 5 days a week, 6 days? How are you traveling? Where are you living?
It's pretty much every day. And you go to like little vacation places,
holiday
like Butlins.
Camps.
Yeah, holiday camps like Butlins. Mm-hmm. And it's just people that are at the resort coming to the show, and then they have people out there, the redcoats, that say, okay, boo this guy, or cheer now. Like, basically just do this. So it makes it real easy.
That's what it used to be like at MGM Studios when we did WCW Worldwide.
With the signs.
Yeah, they'd have Wildcat Willie cheering for this guy, and then it'd be like, ooh.
Right.
With no overlap whatsoever. Yep. Just completely boom, 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 boom. So you had the same thing?
So yeah, kind of just got, okay, guys, you know, boo this man. Or, you know, like, and you're just like, yeah. And so I remember the first match I did, I came to the back and Dixon said, I don't know what you're doing out there. And I said, what do you mean, sir? And he goes, you're just doing too much. Now, meanwhile, I hadn't done much of anything.
Right.
Maybe a couple of hip tosses and like, I don't know. And he said, you just got to show out more. I said, what do you mean? Now, meanwhile, I was called the Miami Bruiser.
Miami Bruiser.
Yes. I was pasty as all, and I was like, are you sure? He's like, yeah, you're the Miami Bruiser. I was like, and I don't know how he picked Miami. It's probably just a city he thought.
Yeah,
he
it's American.
Knew. Yeah. And and I
why
wore.
Not like
I
the
wore.
New York Bruiser.
I have no idea. I wore exactly what I was wearing, a wife beater and jeans. He's like, yep, this is the Miami Bruiser.
Can you at least put like some sunblock on your nose? Yeah. Or put a hat, like a Panama hat
and
on?
And I would come out with the old American flag waving it, and all the people hated it. And then the guy would come out with the English flag and big baby
That's
face.
So bad, though. Like, if I'm thinking the United States, like if you're going to do the right. American gimmick, I'm thinking, okay, how about the American Bruiser?
Right. Why not just.
Or the Detroit,
USA,
or Chicago, or New York, like tough cities,
Miami.
Like Miami's. Like, you know, I'm just going to come out doing a Cuban dance or something, right?
Yeah, I'm on the beach. I don't know how he picked it. I think he was ribbing me.
So you do, and then what happens? You do the Butlins, and then are you getting in a van and driving?
Yeah, you basically get in a van with six of the guys. Sometimes Dixon's driving, and you just go to the next one, and you sleep, and you get up, and you load the ring and set it up, and then do kind of the same thing, take it down.
Hmm.
And that's actually a weird part about Dragon Gate is they set up their own shows. So
what do you mean?
we would get to the arena, we'd set up the chairs, we'd set up the ring.
Really?
And then after the show, we would do the same thing. Take it down, put it in the truck, and then go our separate ways.
Wow.
Yeah.
Talk about paying your dues.
And Shima's been wrestling for, I think, 20-something years.
And he was in WCW for a while.
And he's helping,
those guys
helping set up the ring still. So.
It's the Vince adage of there's no job too big or too small.
And they do it.
So it's the same thing in England as well?
Yeah. So on the Dix tours, you kind of set it up and tear it down. And, I mean, the Butlins camps would set up the chairs and stuff. We would just come in and set up. And I tell you what, the ring in England is so heavy.
Really?
Compared to regular rings, just big wood and just not fun.
Is it stiff too?
Yeah, but you weren't expected to take a lot of bumps on it. So
you, said you did too much when you did a toss, right? So, who else was working there with you? Anybody else
just
you know?
Nobody from America. I went over
England
one time with Pierre Caroulette.
Okay.
We kind of did a thing with France, England, and Germany,
mm-hmm.
and it was just like a weird long tour. Other than that, nobody American.
Which English guys were there?
A guy named Kid Cool, Mikey Whiplash, guys like that.
I don't know those guys.
No.
I know like Lionheart and a couple of the guys.
Yeah,
like
I don't
that,
know if those guys.
Maybe
I think
too early.
Yeah, they might just not.
So no other
work for them.
No other Americans.
Not
just
at
you?
The time. No.
Oh wow,
yeah.
That's kind of weird going over there by yourself, huh?
Yeah, and I did, like I said, I don't think I was in a place in life to be ready for it, and I just didn't want to be there. And funny story over there was I was told by guys that so Eddie Guerrero when he got
fired
yeah. somebody said, "Hey, Dixon, do you want to bring Eddie?" And he said, "I don't know. I don't know who he is." And nobody, you know, these guys at the Butlins camps went, "I don't want to use him." You know, what's the why? I don't need him. And I was like, "All right."
Oh, wow. And you know what the funny thing is too? And here's like, you know, we've worked those before, Minehead and Butlins.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But I really noticed what we do. They have rock and roll festivals, and there's one in Wales called Pre-Talon or something like this. So when you're saying, we're saying like holiday camps, the resorts.
Right.
I know what you're thinking in your head, everyone listening. It's not that.
No. It is. To me, it's the farthest thing from a holiday.
It's the worst holiday. Yeah, it's and like, nothing against the fine people that go there for the holidays. But man.
That's where they go for holiday. But you know,
what's there?
It's just, there was a Bob the Builder. Okay, so during the day, I would sometimes get up and just kind of walk over to the place because we'd stay in the Butlins too because they just have hotels or I guess rooms.
They're kind of like they have chalets, like cabins. Dorm.
Yeah. So I would kind of go over and there's a big Bob the Builder show going on and stuff like that, and they had like a movie theater, and it was just very strange, like a water park and like some shitty rides and
just kind of typical like. Cloudy weather.
Yeah. Cold. Nothing. Yeah, no sun, no nothing. Just English weather, and just it's just very odd.
We played a festival there, and I believe it's called Hard Rock Hell, and I'm sure someone will correct me on that. But it's pre-Talon or pre something or other in Wales, and it's the same thing. And the same thing. You think festival?
Yep.
I'm thinking okay. Festival, it's basically a big beer hall,
yeah.
And there's like a beer hall, and you walk in there, man, it smells like a beer hall, beer and cigarettes, and then I see like a Burger King across the way, and like a Pizza Hut, and there's just a bunch of people hanging around, like it's a giant pool hall.
Yes.
You know, and that's basically the holiday camp.
I'll tell you what, I saw the Bob the Builder show twice, and I just thought, maybe this isn't for me.
How long were you in England for?
Just 2 weeks.
Okay,
yeah, so that was it wasn't too long.
So let's fast forward. You mentioned that you got the call. You finally, Johnny Ace gives you the offer to sign you.
Yep.
How are you feeling after 10 years?
So
8 years?
Cloud nine for about a day. And then it became, okay, well, now we got to go to Pittsburgh for the physical.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh boy, you know, I'm banged up and this and that. And I think my knees messed up, my shoulders and... Oh, and I'm the most negative person, so I'm telling my wife.
I say this, though, just as a quick segue. The reason why you're saying you're negative is because you've been in the business for a long time, and you know it's like, you got it, you don't got
so
it.
So many rugs, carrot, so many rugs pulled out.
Yeah.
But I have that weird, you know, pro wrestling vision of everything's great.
But you still, in the back of your mind, I never buy it until it's actually, not even until it happened, until it's done.
Right, and when it's over, I'll tell you what, last WrestleMania, we did the ladder match, and I came to the back, and I stopped, and the guy's like, "You got to go through this door." I said, "Hold on a minute," and I just stood there and looked at the stadium. I said, "Yep,
you had your
mind, yeah." I was like, "This is it." I was
"That's
like,
cool that you did that."
Yeah, and I was like, "He's like, come on, man." I was like, "Really? Just stop for a second.
You had your second to drink it."
I was like, "I just need because it's over now, and it happened." And I was like, "Okay, one of them came through.
That's pretty cool." Yeah. But you're talking about how you went to Pittsburgh.
And yes. So I'm thinking, so you go to Pittsburgh for the physical, you get drug tests and all that stuff. And I'm thinking, so the guy's pulling on my knees and he's like, oh, and he's like kind of like being weird. And I go, "Sir, is everything okay?" He goes, "Oh, you know, your knees are just a little bit loose and your shoulders and your elbows." And I'm like, I was like, oh my God.
How many fingers are they? Okay?
Yeah. So of course we leave and I go, "Well, what do you think the chances are?" And he goes, "Well, it's not up to me." And I'm like, okay, great.
Yeah.
So we leave, and I'm, of course, my wife, I'm insane, and I'm like, they're never hiring me. So now WrestleMania is coming. So April, all the way through April and into now.
What year is this?
This is 2011, I think.
So it's been 10 years since you've been on the job,
So I'm nuts thinking, well, something happened, and that's why they're not calling me. Meanwhile, WrestleMania is happening, so people are busy.
Yeah.
But I don't care. I'm thinking.
What about me?
Yeah, I was like, God, can't they just do this?
Yeah.
So, of course, I think 6 weeks go by, and they tell you, like, we'll give you a call in a couple weeks. So about 4 weeks go by, WrestleMania happens, and I'm, like, losing it, and I'm calling every week. Saying, hey,
calling Johnny or
Christian Altman, saying, "Hey, you know, I just went to Pittsburgh, just trying to check up on what's going on."
What's she saying?
She I never got a hold of her.
Oh,
yeah, of course.
It's this guy again. Yeah, the machine take it.
So finally, 2 weeks after May, so 6 weeks have now gone by where I've lost my mind, and they call and just say, "Okay, yeah, everything's fine. Contract's in the mail, sign it and send it back." I say, "Oh. All right." So, of course, one came through, signed it, sent it back, and then the couple weeks after that, a paycheck comes. And I think, oh, I go, honey, we've made it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That first WWE paycheck.
I was
like,
we've done it. It wasn't for much because it was developmental, but it was more than I was doing. So I said, this is it.
Like, and then did you have to move everybody down to Orlando?
So at the time, I had a 4-month-old baby. I had been at home with him for the past 2 months by myself.
Wife's working.
Mm-hmm. So I moved to Tampa, stayed at my mom's place in Clearwater for a little while and just was kind of commuting. And then finally my wife came down and we actually lived right next door to the school in Tampa, which we loved.
Mm-hmm. When it was called FCW, right?
Yep. So we did a year in Tampa and then – so we weren't getting called up and the place was moving to Orlando. So, we went and picked a spot in Orlando and we moved all our stuff. And then the week after we moved, they called us up. And in hindsight, I wish I would have stayed in Tampa. Mm-hmm. But
what a class that you guys had at the start. Not a class, like a roster in FCW.
Yep.
You mentioned some of the guys, but just go through all the guys that are up in the WWE now.
They
were with you.
It's insane. Ambrose, Rollins, The Ascension, Cesaro.
Reigns.
Yeah, all the Shield.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think now.
You and Wyatt and
All three of us, the whole Wyatt family.
So basically, there's a lot, and then probably a lot of the girls.
Yeah, a lot of the guys, and like a lot of the guys had kind of come in. Neville kind of came in as I was leaving. Sami Zayn,
Owens
was it later?
Gotcha.
So they all kind of, but when I got there, it was like already full of talent that was ready to move up.
So when you came in, how long was it before you got put with Bray Wyatt? Because this is like, it's. You know, we mentioned earlier Ricardo Rodriguez, and we mentioned Delaney.
Yep.
I mean, this role was born for me. You were born for it.
So even before, when I had signed my contract, I called Claudio and told him,
Claudio's another one who's up now.
Yeah. So he tells me, he's like, oh, you talk to this guy. And he puts Wyndham, Bray Wyatt, on the phone, and he's just talking, oh, yeah, I got this spot. Because
he's a talker, too.
Yeah.
I got this idea, let's do that.
I hang up the phone, and I go, what in the hell? What is he talking about? So Joey's like, trust me, this is a perfect spot for you. So he was with Eli Cottonwood at the time, like kind of as his...
Wow, there's a name.
Right.
That was like a big, tall guy, right?
Yep.
Classic NXT name, too.
Cut a mustache promo on NXT. I don't know if you're anybody...
What did he say?
I just think he said...
Because NXT, they used to say, cut a promo on water bottle.
I have a mustache, and my mustache is great. And then 2 seconds later said, I don't have a mustache.
That's right, yeah. I don't have a mustache. Yeah. It's like, you kind of do.
You just said you did.
Yeah, you got to... It's right there.
Yeah, and he was a great guy. He just wasn't a wrestler. And he knew that when he got there. He kind of told me, I'm not going to be here long, so... Mm.
Because a lot of guys don't realize how hard it is.
Yeah, and it's not easy. And whenever I do media, I just did a bunch of media in Rochester, and I always like to talk about how, we don't have an off season. We don't have, we're not like the NFL, the NHL, the baseball. We don't have an off season. Because people ask me all the time, when are you off? Never.
Mm-hmm.
Literally never. Yeah.
At Christmas time?
Nope. No. I'm leaving the day after.
Yeah.
So it's way more difficult than people. And like you get banged up and you work.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
it's what we do.
Yeah, it's what we do. And it's kind of like to an outsider probably sounds completely insane. But to us, it's like, yeah, whatever.
How is it for you in that respect? I mean, is your wife pretty cool with it?
Yeah, she gets it. Like we've been together forever. So she's been around, seen it all, like all the bullshit.
The start,
even the indie crap and all that. I mean, it's the same. Mm-hmm. So there's been she gets it. And I think now that's kind of paying off. It makes it easier. And she's a saint. The hard part is with my son.
You have one child or
yep.
two?
One son named Brody. funny story there is I didn't want to name him Brody. My wife was insistent that we do. I was like, I can't do that. I don't want to be a mark. She goes, but it's a great name. I go, I know. So then when she goes, okay, we kind of made a deal. If WWE hires me, I can't use the name ever again. Let's give it
keep
to
it going. Yeah.
So and literally, if you've ever met him, it fits him perfectly. He's
little,
a Brody.
Little raucous, I remember the first time I met him. He was in the middle of the arena corridor, just
in Tampa, taking
bumps, just rolling on the floor. I think I'd actually step over him. He didn't catch him. I was like, oh, that's Harper's
kid.
Just on
cement.
Right. So when you go down, so Wyatt gets on the phone with you, and then you talk about Cottonwood, and then finally they insert you in there too.
Yeah. So I get down there, and I'm just doing the regular Joes or whatever, and they're kind of in a different class by that point because I'm just in the beginners class or whatever you want to call it. with Norman Smiley, which to me was freaking awesome because
everyone loves Norman.
The way he could do holds and like just manipulate of a body part was literally, and I've always liked him. So it was like, oh, this
and the best
freaking
guy
awesome.
As far as having the temperament to train, to teach.
I always say that too because like people are like, oh, you should be a trainer. I was like, I don't think I can.
I get too angry.
I would kill somebody. Yeah. Like, yeah, how do you not get this? Like,
yeah. What are you, stupid?
Take a freaking bump. It's not that hard. Except it is.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, it kind of started there. And then we'd have promo class every, I think, Wednesday or Thursday, whatever it was.
And who was the teacher?
Dusty.
Now, we have a tradition here on Talk is Jericho. You have to do your Dusty imitation. And so far, the worst ever, I believe, was Ryback. Or no, Justin Gabriel's was the worst.
Oh, well.
So you knew better than that.
Luke, my son, you know, what I want to do is I want to put you with this Bray Wyatt because I think you two together can make a little bit of money.
And he was right.
Yeah, he was.
So Dusty put you guys
so
together?
So it was kind of like looked at me, looked at them, and we're like, well, you know, it all just kind of fits together. So
how long was your beard at the time?
It was kind of this. I think it stopped growing. So okay. I think it's this
goes
long.
About as far as it goes. Yeah. That's about it. Right?
Yeah. Can only get so fat, you know? Like, if you go back to that. So I think he eventually said, okay, you know, guys, just kind of cut promos together, which literally it was kind of the same where I would just kind of sit in the back and then I would do one on my own just as myself, but like with him also. So I was kind of doing two different things at the time. And, it just kind of, like he said, he was like, man, this is awesome. So then they wanted to shoot vignettes for the NXT TV, which was starting. So they just took a bunch of us out there, I think. Me, Jody Christopherson, Bronson, Rowan.
Like
and
a
me.
Whole family.
Yeah, just kind of like.
Was there a girl involved at
yeah,
one point?
Yeah, Audrey Marie.
Audrey Marie, yep. Is she still in the company?
Nope.
Okay.
So I think they just kind of brought us out there to be extras almost. And so we went out there. We shot the vignettes. They were awesome. They were still part of the original ones too. But they kind of just spliced them in.
And I know that because Wyndham was showing mm-hmm. them to me because he was up here before mm-hmm. and as Husky, whatever.
Yeah.
And I was trying to like he said I got this game. I was trying to help him. He was showing me those vignettes. Yeah. I remember I sent them right to Vince.
They're unreal.
Look at this.
Yeah.
They were amazing. They shot.
Yep.
So great.
And literally on NXT budget. Shot with no budget. Mm-hmm. It was just me and Dusty and. Guy named Jeff, the lighting guy down in NXT, who's awesome, and just out there, just here, go ahead and do it. Cut some promos, you know, cut your wild man promos, and we just sat there and we kind of did it, and they're awesome. And then from there, I think we started in NXT, and then he, I believe, tore his pec.
Okay,
so he was on the road full time at this point, pretty much, and me and Rowan were down just kind of doing thing. And at one point, Bill DeMott made me and Rowan wear trunks. Just because he's like, well, I don't think you're going to be with Bray Wyatt, so you got to, you know, we got to get you doing something else. I said, okay. I had never worn trunks in my life. So
Have you always been a jeans?
Yeah, yeah. I said, okay. I had worn a singlet at one point maybe in life, or like 2006 or way early, but never just trunks. So I said, okay, you know, whatever. I said, if you want me to do it, I'll do it. You know, if you want to test me, I'll pass it.
Right.
So we did it, and like we did that for a little while. Then I remember we were supposed to debut on NXT TV, and I said to, I think, Ryan Ward, the writer, I said, well, what should I wear? Because they got me wearing trunks. He goes, well, you got to wear what you wore in the vignette. I go, yeah, okay, that's what I thought. I just wanted to make sure. So that's how then we just did that. I debuted, and then I think two or three tapings later, Rowan did, and then we kind of were just the family.
Join up with the family.
Yep.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Talk is Jericho.
Sitting here with Luke Harper in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. So tell me when you got the call that you're going to be making it to the WWE, the big leagues.
At one of the NXT tapings, Hunter just said, hey, I want to talk to you three. And Wyndham had kind of stooged it off, saying, hey, I've heard some things. I don't want to put it out there, but I think we're coming up as a whole. And of course, me being me, I was like, get the fuck out of here. There's no way. You know, you've been on the road. We didn't do a house show loop, nothing. So me and Rowan have just been in NXT doing house shows down there. And I'm like, no one's ever said a word to us about it.
So when Hunter wants to see you, you're thinking, yeah, I'm going to get fired.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, well, this is it. You know, good run. So we had the NXT tag team titles at the time, me and Rowan. So I'm thinking, oh, maybe he just wants to tell us that we're going to drop it to somebody. And Wyndham's telling me, no, trust me, this is good. And I say, okay. And so we're out in the back hall of Full Sail in like the parking lot. And he said, hey, we're going to bring you guys up as a group. And I just said, oh. Another one, like, yeah, oh. Yeah. Check. Yeah. But still at this point, I'm like, well, okay, it's still not.
Yeah, you haven't done it yet.
So I was in my apartment in, I think still in Tampa, getting ready to move. And Raw comes on. I get a text from somebody saying, hey, turn on the TV. Because they played the vignettes now.
Nice, yeah.
And I'm just, and so literally we haven't been on the road yet. We didn't do a taping, nothing. So they started bringing us on the road for the 4 or 5 weeks that they did the vignettes. But we just sat there and still no house show, still no nothing. So I'm kind of getting to know everybody and just being the new guy. And it was very odd. And then we did the debut in Baltimore against Kane.
This all came out and attacked him?
Yeah, okay. We attacked him and had to beat him up. And had to make it look real. And then, Kane is very nice backstage, so it was difficult. But he was all game for it. He's a great, great human. So,
but what an amazing gimmick.
Yeah.
Like, what a – just unbelievable. The whole presentation.
And that was the thing. It was so different. And, like, Hunter gave us the entrance with the lantern. And
oh,
like,
really?
Yeah, he kind of thought of all that.
No kidding.
Yeah, because it was kind of part of our deal – I don't know if it was in the vignettes or not, maybe hanging from something, but that was part of the deal. Well, you know, you were the light and you're leading the guys to the war.
The ring, yeah, yeah. To war.
So, and then when that happened, it was just like, oh, it's so different and so, you know, different than everything they had there. And I was like, oh, this is great. So.
It's amazing too, because I mean, it's almost one of those things that when it finally becomes a babyface gimmick,
right?
Everybody's involved because they're putting the. I mean, when did it start with the people putting their phones? In
I
the
don't
air?
Know when. I don't know if that was a Mania thing or, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know what I actually think it was? Maybe a tour, London or Liverpool, wherever we were last or 2 years ago in England. I think that's where it started. And then that hit on TV, and then of course everyone started doing it. And then even on house shows here, people do it. And it's
people love
awesome.
Being involved.
Yeah, and it's awesome to see from our perspective to just walk out that curtain and see, oh yeah, cool, yeah, people here.
Yeah. What was your first interaction with Vince? Or have you had one yet?
Yeah. I think that day we came to the back and kind of just said, oh, thank you, whatever, and just kind of okay, cool. And then when we started, my first real one was we started doing the Uso feud, like maybe a year into our thing. And we had a match, I think it was, I don't know if it was the 2 out of 3 falls or the one before, where at the Money in the Bank, where we killed it.
I think it was Battleground, maybe.
Maybe Battleground or whatever. I don't know.
One of the ones. Yeah. It was Usos versus the Harper and Rowan.
Yep. And we got, the falsies came off great with us switching the titles, and it was awesome. And we came to the back, and he stood up, and he hugged each one of us, and he goes, you go to that locker room, you tell these motherfuckers to follow that. And I just go, oh, okay, cool. And then I've had a couple meetings with him just since then, just kind of like checking in and stuff like that. And I mean,
right.
So.
How did you get the name Luke Harper?
I was supposed to do a job on an early NXT TV taping. So Matt Martellaro comes out and goes, hey, your name's Luke Harper now. I said, okay. And then I guess they went into the meeting and they said, okay, Luke Harper versus whoever was going to squash me. And they said, oh, well, maybe we're going to use him at some point. So let's do somebody else. And I don't know who said that or what happened. And then the name just stuck.
Just Luke Harper, randomly, yep. Right? That's kind of a good
one. And I'd given, I think, 30 names that just got shot down.
What were some of the names?
I don't even know.
Not one of them?
Gator Wilkins was one of them that Gator I thought Wilkins. was money.
Hey, man.
That was the top one.
My first one was Jack Action. I thought this is going to make me money, man. Jack millions Jackson. Of dollars, man. I remember Lance Storm saw that written on a book, like a textbook. I was practicing my autograph.
Did he question teaming with you after that?
Oh, no. He was like, what's that? And I'm like, oh, that's going to be my name. No. He goes, what's that? It was Jack Action. Is that going to be your name? I'm like, no, it's stupid. It was just really stupid. Like, wouldn't use that. I'm like,
Yeah, damn it. That was a good one.
But you mentioned the feud you guys had with the Usos. I mean, you guys had amazing chemistry with those guys.
Those are that and the match with Dolph at TLC last year were my fondest memories.
That was WWE. Incredible match, man.
Yeah. So, but the Usos are two of the best out there, and we somehow blended everything we were doing all together, and it was like a perfect storm of wanting it, you know, wanting more. And
that's a great way to get you in the spotlight, but then, you know, hey, here's the ball and do it.
Right. And it felt great. And like I said, I thought we took the ball and we scored a touchdown and spiked it, and everything was great. And of course, back down to reality a little bit later. So
I remember that that match, because I remember being battle.
One of them was in Tampa.
That's Battleground. Yeah. And I know that because I was on the show, and I remember you guys started the show off, and I was like, oh my gosh. Because I was still coming in and, you know, kind of getting familiar with everybody. It's like, that's amazing.
Yeah. And working with those guys. And one of the highest compliments I got was Christian actually was at the show and said to me, he said, you know, he took us all in. And he said, you know, I don't know if he said to me personally or to everybody, but he said, you know, you guys really made the tag team titles feel special. Mm-hmm. Something that they hadn't in a long time.
Right.
I was like, coming from you, that's
he would freaking know.
Yeah, that's a great compliment.
Exactly.
And I've come to know Jay since then, and, you know, he's a terrible fantasy hockey owner, so screw him.
Now, let's talk about a little bit about the match that you had with Ziggler, because that was another one that was just unbelievable. Now, was it a ladder match?
Yes, ladder match for the Intercontinental title. So, won the Intercontinental title.
You won the title. Who'd you beat?
I beat Ziggler for it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I thought it was great. Thought everything was good. Came to the back and Vince yelled at me.
For what?
Because I didn't speak in a southern accent. So kind of put a damper on things for a little
Miami
bit.
You're the Miami Brawler or Miami.
Yeah. I'm the Miami Bruiser.
Miami Bruiser, damn it. So you had a promo before the match or something?
Just
like
one line. I had to say, I'm a team player, but I had to say it southern because that was his vision of me, and it might still be. I hope not.
he wants you guys to be from the bayou or something like this.
And our vision of it is that our people come from everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, his message is nationwide. He's from the bayou, but us, you know, his followers aren't.
Necessarily. Sure, it's like a cult leader.
Right. So we kind of pick and choose where he got us. But, you know.
That's not right. So, I'm a team player.
Right.
That's how you got to talk next time.
I tried. So won it from him. And then we had in Minnesota. And then we had the match in Cleveland. It was hanging up there. And I remember the agent texted me. We were with friends in Cleveland for the week. And I remember the agent texted me about 2 in the morning, strangely saying, hey, you're going to drop the title the next day. And I said, you know, I was pissed because I thought I didn't get a fair run with it, really. Mm-hmm. I hadn't really done anything with it. And
how long did you have it for?
Like a month.
Okay.
And I thought, this is bullshit. So I remember talking to the Dolphin. I said, hey, man, I want to do something special here because I'm pissed. Mm-hmm. And it was in Cleveland, his hometown. So it was like, again, a perfect storm of stuff. And it got, so we kind of went into the idea of we wanted to do just one ladder. Because I remember Scott Hall telling me that they had one ladder for him and Michaels match. And I thought, man, that's awesome.
Oh, revolutionary. Yeah.
I was like, of course, you know, that makes everything mean more. And
now they have them all around the ring.
Right. So they were insistent that everything has to be set up because it was the TLC pay-per-view and they had all the stuff set up and it has to be that way. Okay, no problem. So it actually got way more violent than we ever intended. And I think I got into a little bit of a zone and he was a game for it. And, there was a little bit of bloodshed on both sides. Yeah. I was sliced here. He was sliced on the head. I was in the back of the head. We both got staples and, it was a very fond memory.
What was the reaction when you came back through the curtain after that one?
Vince thought we were dead. And like everyone thought we were dead. And I remember at one point, not to like talk out of school, but they had told us, hey, everybody's bleeding, go home. And I remember turning to the referee and politely saying, F you.
Yeah.
Because
I do it all the time.
Yeah.
I did it tonight. Yeah, I know Charles, you did. Charles was giving us a countdown on a house show. I'm like, F off, Charles. 6 minutes. Who cares? Just go away.
Exactly.
It's not like there's a prayer starting.
Hell. So it was kind of the first time that I felt like, you know, like
when the match is going good, throw these time constraints bullshit out there because we're going for this magic.
Right. And we had
get it.
Like I said, we're in Cleveland. It's his hometown. People are eating it up.
You know the finish.
He's yes, going over. Right, exactly. Right. And so we had gotten to this level of violence and almost like intensity that I had never matched in WWE. You know, mm-hmm. the Uso matches were good, but then the violence, and I'm big.
I get it.
You know, so
Uso's
was
a little bit more of a display.
Right,
this is a
right,
real fight.
Right. So it was just raw emotion to me. And like at the same time, my family's in the crowd. My wife and son and her friends are there in like the third row. And I took this crazy bump on a ladder like an idiot.
Suplex over the top into the ladder.
No, I decided, okay, Dolph, I'll do this dive. And you just push the ladder at me. And I'll hit the ladder in my
like
head.
Like a tope coming
right,
through.
Right, and I'll hit the ladder and we'll all just crash and burn and you go over here. Meanwhile, he throws a ladder at me and I hit it and we just go, I go straight down on the ladder onto my arm.
Oh.
And so like I get up and it's a big cell and I guess my wife was trying to climb over the barricade to see because it's horrific looking. But I was fine and so that kind of started things off, and it was just like I said, it felt good again. It felt like vindication of, mm-hmm. look, I can do this,
right? Because that's how the business works. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's always times when you think I should hold on to this mm-hmm. longer, but
right,
that's how it goes.
Yep.
I remember one time with I was working Road Dogg,
mm-hmm.
and I asked him as we always do, so what do you want to do? He said, win clean with my finish, but that ain't gonna happen. What do you want to do? And that's if we had our way. We'd all win clean with our finish, right?
That's but right, yeah.
Sometimes you got to drop.
Right, absolutely. And so, like, I kind of figured that out, and I was told by one of the top guys in the business, John Cena, that, you know, if you have an at-bat and you hit a double or something or you hit a single, you'll get another at-bat.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of always been my mindset now to, when I get the ball, do what I can with it, control what I can control.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can go out there and do something special that makes them happy, makes everybody happy, I'll get another at-bat. So...
But like I said, from the moment I came in here, the word on the street was that right. Harper's really good. Mm-hmm. How long have you been on the main roster?
Two and a half years.
So, mm-hmm. I was here for 1999. Okay, so 2008. So that's 9 years
right.
before I really got right. in the groove of who I am as a performer. And mm-hmm. finally got, not respect, because I had a little right. bit becoming like mm-hmm. this guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think it's one of those things, like you said, everyone knows you're great,
right.
and this is a cycle, top to bottom, top to bottom.
Right.
You know, and even the other day in Rochester, Arn said it again.
Yep.
He's great, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's great. That's why we work all the time. You know, I'd work Big Show. So I'm like, can I just work Harper again, please?
Don't tell Big Show
no,
that.
No, I love Big Show, but you know what I mean? It's like you just get into this mode, and it's so easy, right?
Yeah, that's the thing is, and it's almost like it's become like my mission now is to be great and mm-hmm. to be good and to make people want to work with me because, if that's only going to help my cause. And again, like to make myself better at every turn. So I, like I said, control what I can control. Mm-hmm. I can't control what they're going to book.
Right.
But what I can control is what I put out there when they do book it.
Sure, exactly.
So if they say, go put this guy over in 5 minutes, I'm going to give you the best 5 minutes you can have.
And that's the way to do it.
You know? Yeah. And sometimes you get guys that are like, well, shit, I don't want to put him over. I don't want to do that. Well, I might feel the same exact way, but I'm going to do it well. So that makes me...
I always say this to younger guys, too. I don't know if I ever told you this, but when you're in this company mm-hmm. or the wrestling business, it's like being on a football team.
Right.
Sometimes you're the quarterback,
right.
and you are expected to play half the game,
and sometimes
you're the cornerback that gets on mm-hmm. twice, but when you're on the field, you better make your tackle.
Right.
And that's kind of how I always look at this, because even, sometimes you're working main event, sometimes mm-hmm. you're the prayer popcorn match, right. sometimes right. you're opening match. You never know what it's going
right.
to be,
right.
but you have to deliver.
Exactly. And like I said, that's kind of become my mission now, is to just make myself as good as I can, mm-hmm. and to, like I said, make people want to work with me. Like, for you to say you want to work with me is an honor. For other people, for other guys to say that is like, it makes me feel good.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't want to just be, he's just a good hand.
Yeah.
That old.
The hell of a
yeah,
hand.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that, like I said, sometimes you go through there and sometimes
right.
you don't. But the thing is, you've been working steadily.
Yep, that's the thing.
Program.
And I'm always working. I'm always booked. So I can't complain.
And like last year, for example, was it WrestleMania? Was it like a seven-man?
Yep, seven-man ladder match. And I know a lot of the guys didn't get on WrestleMania.
Right.
So, and... One of my goals now is to have a singles match on Mania at some point in my life. Mm-hmm. So my first goal was to be on Mania.
Yeah.
So I've just kind of, you know.
Well, your first goal was to get here.
Right. Well, right? There, yeah, yeah.
Then to be on Mania.
Right. Yeah. Get signed, you know.
Yeah.
Work Japan. There's a whole bunch. Yeah. Work a show.
Right.
Yeah. Work in a ring.
Yeah. Grow a beard.
Yeah.
When you're a teenager.
Trying to get fat.
A couple of last questions. I think you already answered this, but what's your favorite match that you ever had? Or favorite matches if you had to pick a couple?
Last year in Rochester, actually, Dolph and I had what I considered a WrestleMania-type main event. And he did the whole thing where, you know, he went over, but then I beat him up after and did the whole thing. Kind of the same way, you know, you let me have that moment at the end. That's
because it's your hometown. Yeah, yeah,
that's a great memory. But TLC match and the two Uso matches are, and again, the WrestleMania match, the ladder match, because that moment of just soaking it in at the end, before the guy tried to shoot me through the door, just to see 79,000 people or whatever it was, like, oh, you know, it's real.
Yeah.
And it became real, and it was, like you said, it happened.
Yeah.
So those four or five.
I remember that match, too, because it was a pretty good match.
Mm-hmm.
So like you said, when it's over, you got the feeling.
Right, right. And the thing is, like, during the match, you're just buzzing through it, like, boom, 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 boom. Okay, two to go. And then you take that last moment and you go, okay. And then you get shooed away and you just, yeah, yeah. Awesome.
I remember the New Jersey WrestleMania at MetLife Stadium. And I was walking up the ramp. I was walking down the ramp during the day and Vince was walking up. And I remember he had a salmon-colored shirt on and it was open at the collar. And I said, you know, another, whatever, that wasn't 29.
Yeah.
I said, you know, 29 WrestleManias, man. He's like, yep. I see. I said, do me a favor. I said, I know you're going to be working all day. You got a million things. But I said, take a moment and just look at this. And think about this. You know, I hate to say this, but think about what you created and how big it's become.
Right.
And he's like, oh, yeah. And then I walked away out of the corner of my eye. I saw him just stall and look for a second. I was like, that's pretty cool. You know?
Right, right.
What do you think of Braun Strowman?
He's large.
Amazing.
Yeah.
How big he is.
He is, I think I'm as tall as him, but that's just, you know.
He's standing on his toes.
I think we're the same weight too, but I don't know. You know, it's just
he just has it in better places.
Something with TV, I think he has a better tan.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
For as little experience as he has, he's unbelievable. And the thing is, if he wants it and wants to continue to learn, the sky is the limit for him. So
it's good for you guys too, because I think it freshens up.
Yeah,
the
new blood.
Bit,
yep, you know? New blood. And I've always said that. I thought with a cult like that, we should always have kind of
guys coming in.
Yeah, and bigger almost. Yeah. So
I still think you should have some creepy chick too.
I agree.
You know,
I think it gives us more diverse things and more ways to go instead of just saying, "Hey, we're going to beat you up." And
well, yeah,
you know, I mean,
when you're on TV 52 weeks a year,
right,
or
right,
104
right.
if you're on SmackDown as well.
The more ways you have to go, the better.
The better it is. Last question, who's your favorite hockey team?
Obviously, the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Oh, okay. I don't know if you're going to say Buffalo.
God, no, I hate. And this is with all offense to Buffalo. I hate every aspect
with
of the
all
city.
Offense.
Yes. Every aspect of the city. I used to play youth hockey, and we'd always go up to Mississauga to play. And I kind of fell in love with the 93 Toronto Maple Leafs, Doug Gilmore.
Mm-hmm.
And they went on their run to the conference finals where that dumb Wayne Gretzky knocked them out. But I can't stand anything Buffalo, so it's all Maple Leafs.
It's funny how you don't like that dumb Wayne Gretzky, because I don't either, because I don't know if you know this. But
I actually love him.
He's the god of any hockey fan. But he actually has the most points in his career, when you go by individual teams, the most points out of any team is Winnipeg Jets. He killed
us
in the 80s. 85 Jets, should have won the damn cup, and Gretzky killed him.
I blame Dale Hawerchuk.
Oh, no, Hawerchuk was because he was in Buffalo too,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, he was.
You know, has anyone ever told you you got a little bit of a favorite to Mick Foley?
I've gotten several mentions that he is my dad. So
I'm sure Mick would love that.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
Your smile and laugh is very similar, man. Dude, it's great talking
to
you.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I wouldn't want to hang out with anybody in Saudi Arabia besides
this is it,
you.
This is it.
Yeah. Luke Harper, very popular in the locker room, and you know why. Funny, funny, good guy. Glad we had the chance to sit down and do this. It was funny. We went to Mexico the following week after Jeddah. And one experience Jeddah was, you heard all about it. Kind of a very different, crazy place in a lot of ways.
Interesting to go there. I'm glad I went. We went to Mexico the week after, and outside the parking lot, this guy had made all these bootleg Luke Harper shirts that all said, yeah, 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 on him. That's his catchphrase. So we bought like 20 of them and handed it out amongst the boys and all wore them. It was pretty funny. That's how popular Luke Harper is in the dressing room. We all wanted to wear our Luke Harper t-shirts. So there you go. Only available in Mexico on the streets as a bootleg. Speaking of being on the streets, I'm on the streets right now as we are in Paris today. We're in Valreal, France, with the Cinderblock Party Tour, Nonpoint, Sumo Psycho, with Fozzie, of course. And we are playing our show tonight by hook or by crook. We're not going to let the bastards keep us down. We're going to do this for Paris. We're going to do this for the people that lost their lives last week in the senseless terrorist attacks. We're going to put on this rock and roll show and try and put some smiles on people's faces because Paris deserves it. France deserves it. Fozzie loves France. And we are playing tonight. Come and check out the show. I don't care if two people show up. I don't care if one person shows up. I don't care if anybody shows up. There will be the sounds of rock and roll playing in Paris tonight, courtesy of Fozzie, Nonpoint, and Sumo Psycho, all right? We're going to Luxembourg tomorrow. We're going to Cologne on Sunday, and we're going to be rocking it like we always do. Then we're heading over to the UK, Reading. We got London on the 26th at the Islington Academy. We got the Fozzie after show party at the Sanctum. All details about that will be coming up. Manchester, Southampton, Birmingham, Newcastle, Nottingham, Sheffield, Wales. Don't miss this Cinderblock Party Tour. It's one of the best tours we've ever done. Nonpoint is a great band. Sumo Psycho, awesome up-and-coming bands. If you like rock and roll, come check it out. FozzieRock.com for all gig info. And don't forget the Fozzie Rock new and improved VIP, man. You'll be getting a private pre-show concert, a question and answer session, all that great, great stuff. And we're having a blast with it. It's fun because you guys are requesting the songs. You're singing the songs with us in the pre-show party. VIP has been a blast this time. It's rejuvenated, and I'm excited about that. I'm also excited for all of you guys, and thank you for listening to Talk is Jericho. I do this for you twice a week for free, where I'm able to do that thanks to my great Talk is Jericho sponsors, DraftKings.com. Play for free when you use my promo code Y2J. You really got to give this a try, especially for football as well. It's a blast. It adds a little bit more excitement to the games when you're playing them. DDP Yoga, win an autographed copy of DDP Yoga by tweeting your own DDP Yoga story to me at Talk is Jericho using the hashtag Podcast1. Casper, those mattresses are so comfortable. I'm not joking. Use the promo code Jericho to get $50 towards your mattress purchase. It was funny when they delivered the mattress to my door. I wasn't even aware it was coming. It's like a mattress call. I had to bring this giant mattress inside, but man, is it ever worth it. Of course, Amazon, the longest running sponsor of Talk is Jericho. Easiest way to support the show, just use the Talk is Jericho links. You can find them by going to podcast1.com, clicking on the supporter show sponsors banner at the top of the page, then hit the Talk is Jericho button. Amazon links for the USA, the UK, the Canada, A. Every time you use Talk is Jericho Amazon links, Amazon kicks back a small percentage of the show to help us cover production costs. I just bought American Horror Story Freak Show Season 4. And I'm watching that while I'm over here. And, man, it's creepy. Twisty the Clown, Twisto the Clown is insane, literally and figuratively. Just buy whatever you want. Holidays are coming up. Make sure you buy all your stuff at Amazon and use the Talk is Jericho links. Thanks so much to Luke Harper for being here. Thanks to Robert Trujillo, Metallica Studio Update the other day, and his family showed up. Doc McGee was amazing. And, of course, the Eddie Guerrero tribute with Chavo Guerrero and Dean Malenko is a must here. Along with every other episode of Talk is Jericho, go check them out. And we'll see you next week. Stay hard, stay hungry, stay cool. We love you. And next week, it's the Useless Trivia Triumphant Week. That's right. If you've read my book, A Lion's Tale, you know the group. It's Jericho, Raven, and Conan. All three of us giving ridiculous pop culture references and displays. We're not together, but it is the return of Raven on Wednesday. And on Friday, Conan will be here. So it's going to be a great, great week. It's always a great week when you guys join me. Thank you so much. Cheers from Europe and a big yeah, boy.
You can download new episodes of Talk is Jericho every Wednesday and Friday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.